But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. This is Nicole. Join me on this adventure as we go from glory to glory.
Hello and welcome back. In today's teaching, what I want to do is give you 7 things to consider when you're getting ready to step out and start using your prophetic gifting. And I'm also going to give you 2 warnings to go along with those 7 things that I want you to consider of how to step out, okay? So let me pray and we will begin. There won't be a study guide for this one. I'm going to put all the scriptures up on the screen for you. And I would just ask that you would just go and read through them. But this is going to be very straight and to the point for you today. Okay. Lord, I just thank you for gifting us with the gift of prophecy and for allowing us to use it for your glory and for your honor. I ask that through these points and the tips that are going to go forth, that each person that's listening will receive it, understand clearly, and that you will begin to give ideas and an outline to your people to start using the gift that you have given to them, and that they will feel empowered by you, by your spirit, to move forward once they have considered all these points that you have given me to share with them. I thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit. Fill us now with your Spirit and surround us with your Spirit and allow us to flow in our thoughts and in our heart the way that you want us to. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so let's go through it. These are just 7 things that I want you to consider. If you have a prophetic gifting or you believe you have a prophetic gifting, to think about these things as you're stepping out to start using it, okay? So I'm gonna give you 7. First one, I think it is very important that you ask yourself, why are you doing this? Why do you want to step out and use this gift? Because motivation and your intention and what is actually driving you to use this gift is very important. I know sometimes, and this is not just with using a prophetic gift, this is when you start any kind of ministry or even starting a church. There are things that we have to consider. You know, ministry should never be looked at as something to replace your full-time job. Okay, or as a means to make money or pay your bills. Okay, because if you enter it with this thought in mind, like this is going to be a way for me to make extra income, that might not work out so well for you. Okay, because it's not a job in that sense, it is a calling. And so when you have a calling, how you approach it is very different than taking a job. And I'll say it to you like this. If you went out to a job and you worked on that job for 6 months and you were unpaid, I'm sure you would be very upset and you would probably quit because you're expecting to be paid. Now, you could be at your church for the last 5, 6, 7, 10 years, and you can be an usher at that church, and you can show up on a Wednesday night service, on a Saturday, on a Sunday, and you will do that ministry for months on end, for years, with no problem, showing up all the time, because you're volunteering to serve there. And so because you're doing it from a heart of service, you can last for a long time because you're not expecting any kind of a financial contribution from using your gift to serve others. So this is just to give you something to think about as to what are you expecting when you start this, okay? Because if you're not clear in your mind and you enter it thinking, well, this is how I'm gonna get some money, believe me, you might end up being angry and bitter if the donations don't come in the way they should, you know? And I'll give you an example of something that happened with my ministry that God gave me when we started with the ministry. Let's see, I started in 2006. We never took any donations from anyone for years. Actually, I just started doing that in 2017. Prior to that, we didn't take any donations from anyone. And round about, I want to say 2008, 2009, was when we had a very bad housing market crash. I don't know if you remember that. And the economy was very bad. A lot of people were losing their homes and they lost their jobs. And it was a very difficult time for a lot of people. So let's say that I was getting in 100 prayer requests per week through our ministry website, right? How I had things set up then, the emails when people would put in for prayer requests was basically dispatched out to different volunteers who would pray over those requests. And so once everything started to change economically, the prayer requests jumped by about 400%. So instead of getting 100 per week, we were getting 400 per week. And the number was just growing because people were going through a very difficult time. And so one of the volunteers said to me during this time, and she was doing this all along, no problem. She said, "This is a lot of people coming to us, more than we had before. Why don't you let them give you a donation when they're asking for prayer? Ask them for a donation." And so I said, "No, we're not gonna ask anyone for a donation just so we could pray for them. We're not doing that. It's not what we do. We don't accept money. We never did at that time for anything." And so she was not pleased with that answer. And I think in retrospect, maybe she herself was going through some financial struggles too, but her way of sorting that out was to ask people for money. So once she realized that I was never gonna do that, she then said to me the following week that God is calling her to start her own ministry. So I said, "That's wonderful." And so she had to leave to go and start this ministry that God has called her to start. So she left, and when she left, she took the email addresses and all the names of all the people that she had been praying with. And of course, she solicited those people. Yes. So now imagine having, you're used to going to a ministry and asking for prayer, and now all of a sudden the person who used to pray with you is now soliciting you money. So she went ahead and started her own website. And in order for anyone to put any kind of requests in there, they had to give her a donation. Well, that didn't last for longer than a year. It had to get shut down because I'm sure by the time it came around where all of the fees are due to keep the website up and developers and all the things that you need to keep a website running, she was not gonna take money out of her pocket to keep that going when she was probably not getting any money from these people. And I could have told her before that the people, most of the people that are coming are already struggling financially. They don't have that money to give to you. So you're gonna start a website, don't expect much because they're suffering and struggling as it is. So that side only stayed up for a year because by the time the bills came due, She's not going to take money out of her own pocket, so she had to shut everything down. And that was the end of that. Okay, so this is what I'm talking about when I say, why are you starting to think about going out there and prophesying to others? That you have to actually check yourself, your motive, your motivation. What are your intentions behind it? Because if it is ever to do this as a way to make money, I promise you, you're gonna get yourself into some trouble there. All right, because if the donations don't come in like you hoped they would, you're gonna end up getting upset and shutting down everything just because of that, right? So please think about this. And I don't want you to think that this was anything to do with age. This was a lady in her 70s that did this, okay? She had been saved for years, decades, all right? That's why these teachings and discipleship is so important, because if you're being discipled properly, you consider these things before you head off to do something like that, okay? All right, second point. You need to pray and ask the Lord if it is time for you to step out. Because understand that when you're starting to use a prophetic gift, that you have to have enough evidence that says you actually have this gift. And what I mean by that, okay. What I mean by that is that you've had different ways in which the Lord has communicated with you something, and it actually came to pass. Not only did it come to pass for you, but He has communicated messages to you, which you've told other people, and it has happened for them. And you actually have a track record of this happening time and time again. Okay. If you're a dreamer and your dreamers and your dreams come to pass, know that everybody's dream comes to pass, because that's why God gives us dreams to begin with. You know, when Joseph shared his dreams with his brothers, that wasn't a prophecy to be shared with other people. That was his personal prophetic word, right? So if you're getting dreams and they're just for you, which is point number three, you cannot be sharing what you're getting with other people if that message is just for you. So you have to be sure that there is a clear indication that the prophetic word has application for everyone who's going to receive it, right? Not just you. So your dreams have to speak to multiple people, to nations or a church or a group of people, in order for it to be a gift that you can use and share with others. I hope that is making sense to you. Joseph's dream was just for Joseph. But then when you look at other dreams, like the Pharaoh's dream that he went to, the Pharaoh's dream was prophetic for the entire region and area. Not that he was a prophet, the Pharaoh, but that was a prophetic dream. So I'm just saying that you have to be sure that A, your prophecies are more than just you, because you don't want to just be sharing your own stuff, right? No. And if you do that, what you're going to find happening is that you're going to get a lot of obstruction for your own things coming to pass, because you're actually sharing your own personal word with other people, and that should never happen. Okay, so that's why point number three is, ask the Lord if what you are receiving is for others and not just for you, because some of the things you get is just your word, it's not for others, and some you're going to be able to share with everyone. Okay, number four. Ask the Lord what forum you should be using to deliver the message, because there are many different forms. There's writing, that's how I share my prophetic words. There are video, there's podcasts, there are different social media sites. You know, there are many different places where you can do it. And I do believe that different people have anointings to do different things. There's television. You have to think about which area is he sending you in, okay? And pray about that. So that when you launch out, you know, okay, this is where I should be because the Lord told me this is what I should be doing. Then the fifth point is every single word that you deliver should have a scripture reference where it lines up with the scripture, okay? There is nothing new under the sun. That means that every message you get, there is a scripture in the Bible that goes along with that. That says that that is from God, right? Because the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus Christ. So just make sure that every prophetic word that you give has to have scriptures attached to it. Okay, so that when people receive the word and the message and they leave there, they have a scripture they can hold on to, the word of God. Which that is what's going to give them the faith and the courage to believe in whatever it is that you're sharing, okay? God talks in many different ways, okay? Dreams and visions, and he can speak to you audibly and speak into your spirit, and you can see it in the sky or through nature or billboards or traffic signs or many things, you know? Even music. Yes, God does speak through songs. However, it has to be backed up with the scripture, okay? You don't want to send someone off to go look up the lyrics of a song to get a message from God. No, because why would you send someone to look into the world to receive a message from God? It makes better sense that you're sending someone off to look for a scripture that lines up with the message that you gave. It has to point to Jesus. It has to point to Jesus. It cannot point to you or to whatever else is in that message. The scriptures have to have the foundation, the first, the last, the beginning, the end of that prophetic word. Okay. The next one, 6, I would say, pray for an Issachar anointing. What is this? This is one of the tribes of Israel. And this anointing is to understand the times and seasons, meaning that this will give you an opportunity to know the timeline of the prophetic word. Because some words are for now, and some words they're for later. It's coming down the road, okay? I have found a lot of what the Lord has given me, depending on the magnitude of the word, is a 4-year word. It's a 5-year word, okay? Because a lot of the words that I was getting, especially in 2020, 21, 2022, were preparation words for things to come. And so in order for people to be prepared, you have to give them enough notice to put things in order, okay? So preparation words, you know, you're gonna need that timeline. But then some words are what you call a now word. It's for now. And so if you have an Issachar anointing, you can be able to deliver a message that people can take it and understand how it fits, okay? Number 7. So this is the last one now. I have here. If you are one that gets dreams, and this is how you're going to share your prophetic words through dreams, pray and ask God for the gift of interpreting dreams. And if that has taken a while to come, I can tell you for myself, how I learned dream interpretation was through reading, looking up the symbols in the Bible, books, okay? This is how I learned. It took effort on my part to learn dream interpretation. It didn't just come to me like that. It took me a while to actually put things together, a long time, okay? And I don't know if you know this, but dream interpretation, as with prophecy, many times, is not just the gifting by itself. It's working in tandem with a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom, and discerning the spirits. Because sometimes I will interpret a dream for someone and it has nothing to do with the actual symbols in the dream. There is a spirit in the dream. And so once I discern what is the spirit of the dream, the symbols kind of fall into play. Okay, so I'm just saying that if you find that you're a dreamer, and that is how you believe most of your prophecies are gonna come to you, you need to take the time to learn dream interpretation. This way, you can share the message clearly. And I hope you have some tools and resources of where you can go. Please don't go online and look up like angel numbers and stuff like that. No. There are so many websites online that are not Christian. And it is very important for you to know this, that when you're interpreting your dreams, that you're not using resources that are not Christian. Okay? Not Christian. You have to understand that before you get going there. So I just wanted to share that with you. And now for the two warnings that I wanted to say. So the spirit that you're going to have massive clash with when you step out into the prophetic ministry is the spirit of Jezebel. You're going to come across many things, but that one will be there. And of course, because it's a spirit, this operates through men, it operates through women, it will be there. Okay? And this is to basically stop you from doing what you are doing. You have to remember that it tells us in 1 Kings chapter 18 that at Jezebel's table were 400 prophets of Baal and 450 prophets of Asherah. She had 850 prophets sitting at her table. Not people with the gift of mercy or administration. She doesn't care about that. She's going after the prophetic. So this is what you're going to come across. This is why it's so important for you to pray and ask the Lord when it is time for you to step out, because there's going to be a lot of spiritual warfare and you have to be ready and prepared to handle that. You have to be ready and prepared to handle that because it is going to come, okay? And you know, if you're wondering like, why does she have this? Well, if you think about it, the prophetic, you can see into the future and what is coming. Okay, so she wants to know what is coming for everybody so she can stop that. Also, your voice and your mouth is very anointed. And so she recruits people, okay? Before she attacks you, she will attempt to recruit you to go ahead and use your anointing on your voice to prophesy things that are not from the Lord, okay? Right, she wants to use your anointing to prophesy bad things on others. And so I have seen where this spirit generally goes to recruit is prophetic ministries, intercessory ministries, okay? Because of the anointing of the voice in these ministry, your ability to speak and things happen. And it is when you don't go along with the plan that now here comes the attacks. Generally is how it happens, okay? So she's gonna try to latch on in pain, people's pain and trauma. If you are pained, you have trauma, you have issues and problems with others, this is what they use to pick you off. Because then it's like, well, let's pray this against this person. You know, not P-R-A-Y, but P-R-E-Y, which will be curses and nothing good. You know, no conversation of love or forgiving others, but more like, let's pray against this. And, you know, why, your husband is spending too much time in the office. Maybe he needs to lose his job and get another job, and she'll get you to pray that your husband is going to lose his job. Things like that, but then tie it into you gaining something by cursing someone else with your mouth. You know, her husband Ahab wanted a vineyard, and so he couldn't get it, so she went and got it to give it to him. You know, it's always you're gonna gain, but your gain is gonna be cursing someone else. And she can't really do that and succeed with people who don't have the anointing of the voice. So that's generally why it's a prophetic voice or it is an intercessor. Yes. So, because then it's a bigger scope of people as opposed to just Mary Jane down the street and Sarah. Well, they can get their family members, but still, these are the people she goes for, the prophetic voice and the intercessors. So you have to look out for this. It's going to be there, okay? And so I wanted to share that with you as a warning. Second thing is, you have to be mindful that, let's talk about first and foremost, the purpose of your gift. The purpose of your gift, according to Ephesians chapter 4, let's see. According to Ephesians chapter 4, we're going to read verse 11. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers. Verse 12 tells us the purpose of your gift. To equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. 13. Until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to a whole measure of the fullness of Christ. So the purpose of your gifting is to equip people for service in the body of Christ and to build them up to basically be more like Christ. Glory to glory, pretty much what this school is doing, equipping you. And that's what your gifting should be used for, okay? So the warning is this: never, ever, ever, ever use your gift for personal gain. The gift is not for you to get what you want by telling people what they want to hear. It's to build them up so that they look like Christ, okay? And to prepare them and equip them so that they can serve Christ, right? Not personal gain. And because the anointing of the prophetic is so strong, it is very dangerous if you begin to use your gift for your own personal benefit, okay? And I'll tell you the story, one story before we close out here. There was this lady, she was young in her 20s, and she was a very powerful seer. I would say a level 10 seer, meaning, I mean, she could look at you and your history was all right there. The thing is that the environment that we were in, because they don't believe the giftings exist like they do today, they believe in the cessation of the gifts, none of them knew that she was a powerful seer. So just imagine they're just hanging around with her, like a regular person, not recognizing what was going on there, that she was able to actually read them up and down. So I knew, no one else there knew. So we would talk about this gifting and everything was going fine. Well, she got it in her head that she was now going to use this gift to start to puppet master people and manipulate people, because now that she knows what your issues are, what your fears are, what your Achilles heel is, she could basically just orchestrate things to move people in the direction that she wanted to move them. When she started to do this, I didn't know that she was doing that with the gift. Because whenever we're in a group at church, if she was talking to a group of people and I would walk up to the group of people she would always have something she had to go and do, so she would leave the group. And I didn't know or even realize that she was doing it. It took several months for me to realize, wait a second, why is it every time she sees me with a group, she avoids that group? Or if she's standing with a group of people and I go over to the group of people, she walks away and has to go do something. But she's not upset with me, because she would stay from across the room and wave, and I would say hi and she would say hi, and you know, there was no animosity there. She was just always making sure that she was never there when I was there with these people. And that was because I think she knew I would pick up on what she was doing. Because imagine that she's doing this to people that don't even know that she has this gift and she can do this. So this goes on for some months, and then I don't remember how I found out about it, if it was just the Lord that told me that she was basically manipulating and puppet mastering people in the church to get them to do what she wants. If she wanted to be in charge of this, or she wanted to go over there, or she doesn't want this person to be there, she would just move them by creating a scenario because she knew information, okay? And once I found that out, man, I was so upset. And I was like, this is terrible that she's doing this to people, right? So I said to the Lord, I don't know how you're gonna stop this, but it needs to stop, right? So months go by, and of course she stops hanging out with me. And I think at some point she realized that I knew what she was doing. And then, you know, it was, she just sheepishly would just like, and scurry away quickly because she was afraid I would confront her with it, right? So she just wasn't around me anymore. Then one day she calls and leaves me a message and says, I miss you. I haven't hung out with you in a long time. We should get lunch together. I understand if you don't want to have lunch with me. Which further confirmed to me that she knew that I knew, because nothing had happened between us for her to think, why wouldn't I want to hang out with you? She knew. So then she said, tell me when you want to have lunch. And I hope you'll agree to this. So when I got the message, immediately I thought, I am not having lunch with her. Okay, so I was just like, no. Then the Lord says to me, you are going to go and have lunch with her because I have a message for you to deliver to her. So I was like, okay. And then he says to me, tell her. I said, she is to stop or I will make her stop. I was like, here we go. Okay, I will gladly go and have that lunch to deliver this message. So there was some time between when I said, okay, let's have lunch, and when it worked for my schedule that I was able to do it. I think it was like a 2-week time frame before I could see her. And so we set up the lunch date for like two weeks later. And so I go. And I thought, okay, I'm just going to be nice. I'm not going to say anything to her. Because at this moment, we had not yet had words about, I know what you're doing to the people. Okay. No words were exchanged where that was concerned. So I thought, I'm just going to have lunch. I'm going to relax. And I'm going to wait till we're leaving the lunch to deliver the message. We get to the end and I tell her. The Lord says, I said, I have a message for you from the Lord. So she was like, oh, okay. I said, the Lord said to tell you that you are to stop or he will make you stop. And I said, and I think you know what that means. So when I said that to her, her eyes welled up with tears and the tears started to run down her face. And then she said to me, well, since we set up this lunch date, some things have happened in the 2 weeks. I had an appointment with the doctor. I went in and there was something showing on the scans. I had a biopsy done. And right before I got in the car to come and meet you, the doctor called me with the biopsy result. I have cancer. Oh my goodness. And understand that where she had the cancer, two of her biggest things in life, her desire, was to get married and to have children. And where it was, there was no kids coming because they would have to cut that out and her reproduction would be, it was over for her. And so I was like, oh, okay. So look at what the Lord did. He sent me to deliver the message and timed it perfectly so that before she even sat with me, she already got the message. So that when I said, stop, or I'm gonna make you stop, she knew why that happened to her. And so I said, okay. I said, all right, well, I don't need to pray for you on this. I said, I think you know why this is happening. I said, so the ball is now officially in your court for this to go away. And I'm positive it will go away once you do what God says. So she was like, okay. And I gave her a big hug because I was like, man alive, that is a hard lesson to learn like that. Okay? Very hard lesson. And I think she learned it because I'll add this. She is married and she has two kids. Okay? So that in itself said she listened. But that's how God had to deliver that message to her. Okay? And so the warning is this to you. Do not use the gift for your own personal gain to manipulate and control people. Because if the Lord steps in to discipline you on that thing, it's not gonna be good. All right? That's the warning. So that's all I had to say. I hope that this has helped you, that it's brought some clarity for you. This is not about training you in the prophetic. This is about you already have the gift and just give you some pointers to get you going with that, okay? And things for you to consider before you start. Okay, now next week, what I'm gonna talk about is receiving prophetic words, how you receive them, why do they happen or not happen, and all of that kind of thing, how to test the spirits and what does that even mean. Okay, we'll talk about that next week. So, Lord, I just thank you for your grace and your mercy and your love and your Holy Spirit, and that you're actually calling in this season intercessors and those with the prophetic gift to step into their role, serving you to equip the body of Christ for the work of service and to build them up into your image, Lord. Thank you for giving us these gifts so freely and for teaching us how to steward them and how to use them in a manner that glorifies you. We love you, Lord, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, I will see you next time. Bye.